God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I told Mark and Kelly that I love it when babies cry in the course of baptismal services because it reminds each and every one of us that we are welcome in God's church. We are welcomed deeply by God, even when we're having a massive fit. So, yay! I'm happy that he's crying. Thank you. So this may come as a surprise to some of you, maybe not so much to others of you, that when I was in college, I pledged a sorority. This is something that some of my friends find very funny for some reason, but I did. I pledged a sorority my first year in college and had a wonderful time that first spring. Several of my suite mates pledged the same sorority. The resident assistant in my dorm was a member of the sorority, and we had just a lovely time at various dances and parties and cookouts and different events like that. The rub came the following fall when I became a resident assistant to help pay for my room and board in college. And as part of my commitment as an RA, I needed to take the meal plan with my residents in the dining hall. And my sorority, having a chef, having a cook, also required a meal plan of 10 hours a week, lunch and dinner, which was quite expensive because the food in the sorority was much better than the food in the dining hall. But my housing was linked to the food in the dining hall, so it was clear that I needed to be present at the meals with my residents. So I went to the president of the sorority and I explained the situation to her. She listened very politely, and when I came to the point of asking, so is there any way that I could, you know, come over and maybe help clean up after the meal or spend some time with you, but not actually pay for the meal plan because I already have all these meals. You know, is there some compromise, some wiggle room that we can reach? She looked at me and she said, what part of mandatory was unclear? Okay, so, well, I can't afford two meal plans, so could I take a leave of absence while I'm a resident assistant? Could I, you know, not become a full member until next year? You know, is there any way that we can work this out? Which it became clear very quickly that the answer was no. In order to be a member of this particular sorority, you needed to do certain things, and if you couldn't do certain things, you couldn't be a member. And so she said to me, I love this. Said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to deactivate you. Wow. This would be cool. So yes, I was deactivated. And that set for me a very interesting path. You know, I already had a slight resistance to anything mandatory in my life, having been raised Catholic. I really resisted mandatory things. But it caused me to question a lot in my life and in communities, why are certain things deal breakers? Or why are there certain things that we have to follow in order to participate in a particular community? You all might have experienced this in your lives in different ways. I know that there are some clubs that require membership at certain events, or a certain number of meals have to be taken in a certain place, or you have to wear ties and coats in order to participate in, you know, certain restaurants, to eat at certain restaurants in these clubs. Or for those of you who have children and grandchildren, the team sports have these kinds of strong requirements. If you cannot give your winter break, your spring break, every afternoon after school, every weekend, travel to Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire, you're off the team. There's no middle ground. There's no wiggle room that says, well, I can participate fully in Saturday team events, but Sunday mornings, I have other commitments. That's not an option. So in the Episcopal Church, we struggle because we have not traditionally had those strong kinds of requirements. Now, my Baptist friends in the South, you absolutely had to be in church on Sunday, had to be in church on Wednesday night, and were pretty close to required to tithe. Our Jewish friends in the synagogue in Northern Virginia were assessed based on their tax incomes. there was a strong requirement in order to have a seat at the High Holy Days. There was a strong requirement of the members of the community. Might do that for parking outside. If you want to park in the lot, I'm going to assess you. But there's an interesting tension that we face as Christians in the 21st century, where we don't live in a community with such rigid black and white rules. If you do this, you're in. If you don't do this, you're out. Particularly for the Pasquino family, as they're raising these beautiful young children and welcoming another child into the life of this church, they, like all of us, face decisions about what are the kinds of people that we want to be and raise our children to be, and how do we accomplish that in an incredibly complicated social environment. When Jesus is teaching in today's gospel lesson about picking up our cross and following him, and the ways that that can divide us, mother from child, sister from sister, mother-in-law from daughter-in-law, Jesus is not saying this is the prescribed way things should be. Jesus is simply stating a fact that when we choose to live our lives according to certain values, to be certain kinds of people, we will inevitably find ourselves in conflict with folks that we love. So I don't know how many of you may have left house guests at home this morning to come to church, or how many of you simply had to bear the cross of getting up and getting dressed and getting out of the house to come to church. It's an incredible sacrifice on many Sundays, especially in the dead of winter or with all the hard traffic, for people to come together, to gather, to worship God. So perhaps that is a cross that you are bearing, simply finding the mental, the physical, the social strength to say, this is important to me. I want to be in this place. I want to gather with this community. Perhaps as you are choosing to follow Jesus in loving God, loving your neighbors, and loving yourself, perhaps you recognize that there are certain relationships in your life that oppress you in some way. If you have somebody in your life who is addicted, an alcoholic, in some way overeating or abusing their bodies, you can feel oppressed in that relationship if the person acts out against you, is angry, or if their behavior creates particular circumstances that you are constantly in turmoil. Choosing to love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself might mean a rupture in that relationship until that person can learn to love themselves and seek help for whatever the addiction might be. Or sometimes it is as simple as how we choose to use our time. If you are wanting to develop your relationship with God, and in the evenings you seek to spend some time in prayer and spiritual reading, but your partner, your friend, your spouse is used to you watching TV with them, something that simple in terms of shifting behaviors, shifting how you approach this calling to follow Jesus, can create some distance in relationships. So the crosses that Jesus is talking about us bearing in this gospel lesson can be fairly small and yet have huge ramifications in the course of our lives. So the challenge that we have before us with these lessons, and as we reaffirm our faith in the context of this baptismal service, is to ask ourselves, what kind of Christians do we want to be? In the same way that my sorority had strong requirements about what we needed to do in order to be a member, the Episcopal Church trusts you in many ways. We don't say we are imposing on you these requirements, but we are saying within the gray area of all of the different ways that you can act and the different decisions you can make about your time, your talent, your treasure, God and this church are inviting you to make decisions that may be uncomfortable in our current cultural context and in your social relationships. But what kind of a person are you shaping yourselves to be? This is the great gift of the Episcopal Church. Nobody's going to force it on you. But there will always be a strong invitation to allow us to walk with you. We each are carrying our own crosses. They are so much easier to bear when we look and we see that there's another family who's choosing not to participate in a soccer league because the tournaments are all on Sundays. It can be easier to bear when you come to church, struggling to get yourselves here by 8 or 10 and see friends and feel uplifted by the music and the chance to worship together. It can be easier to bear your cross if you're trying to repair a relationship or shift patterns in relationships when you know that there are others who have done the same thing. So as you consider what these crosses are in your lives, please know that each and every one of us is walking with you, carrying our own crosses. And together, we move forward with joy, trusting, like Hagar, that even when it feels disastrous, like our child is about to die of thirst in the desert, God will show us a well, a spring, where we can drink and be refreshed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.